Hi, so we've been off for a long time. What are we going to talk about today?
What do you mean, what are we going to talk about? Our college football, I mean, our podcast, like, it's totally wrapped up in this. So do you want to recap what you just said about in the email?
Well, I think the thing we have discussed on this podcast is that it can't just be simply a bunch of people sitting in a room trying to decide who they think the four best teams are. There has to be a systematic something in place to determine who gets in.
That's right.
So if you have an undefeated team or two undefeated teams or whatever, they should automatically get in.
Correct.
The next criteria should be something like, if you're the conference champion, then you get the nod ahead of somebody who's not.
Right.
So that would have left out, for instance, Alabama just completely out, since you've only got four teams.
Yeah.
Right. So that would have put Central Florida in because they were undefeated.
That's right.
So then you would have to look at the remaining conference champions and determine what three teams you thought should go in of those three.
Yeah.
And then you can rank them 1-4 any way you want. It doesn't matter to me.
Right.
But the whole point of the playoff was to get away from this idea that now we have an undefeated team who beat Auburn, who beat Alabama and Georgia, who are playing for the championship, and therefore they can claim, well, we're the champions.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
It undercuts the entire point of a playoff.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, and I know this is going to sound silly, but to me, this is setting up a scenario where I would say that it's undeniable that Central Florida should be recognized. You know, like if then you're going to vote as the Associated Press, Central Florida should be the national champion.
I agree. They went undefeated and they beat Auburn.
And they beat the team that beat these two teams.
Right. And not only that, they didn't just beat Auburn. They beat Auburn.
I mean,
Auburn came back toward the end, but they handled them.
Yeah. They were clearly the better team.
Right.
So, yeah, to me, it's a slam dunk that, I mean, if you're going to have any sort of beauty pageant national champion, I mean, I really would. I would vote Central Florida number one.
I would too.
Yeah.
I would too.
So that's what I think. I think that what we should have is, you know, again, it's just – there's just such this disconnect among, like, these notions of, you know – I mean, in truth, it's probably going to turn out that Alabama has, like, the best collection of players and the best coach and all that kind of stuff. I mean, Alabama's probably the team, right?
Right.
That's probably got the most great players and all that sort of jazz. But to me, that's just not that – you know, that sort of like coming to that conclusion is just not particularly interesting.
That's different than the national champion.
Yeah. What's interesting is who performed the best for this season.
Right.
You know, like who turned it, you know, like, and the thing is, I mean, I think it's very possible that Alabama's won like 20 national championships in a row or something stupid like that. And so like, you know, they probably did, you know, these guys probably knew they were the best team, probably slacked off a little bit in the regular season. And they're still the best team, and now that the tournament's around, they're probably going to win it. But that all, you know, is of no – anyway, that's just not interesting a pursuit.
Now look, the Dodgers beat the A's because Dennis Eckersley hung the one pitch he hung all year to Kirk Gibson, right?
Exactly.
Nobody turns around and then awards Oakland the championship. Because they were the better team.
Why you would bring this up as the example, I'll never know.
That's the first thing I thought of, because they were the better team. They should have won. But you play the games. I mean, it would be like saying, well, you know, Indiana State, they had a great year, but, you know, they're just not that good, so we're not going to let them into the tournament.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And this is what the people that didn't want to play off at all would say, well, this is the problem with the playoff, because it makes the regular season, you know, it takes the pressure off the teams to perform during the regular season. And I just think you can have it both ways. I just think you I always thought that was jive, you know, just everybody kind of deciding who the national champion was based on, you know, these kind of like echo chamber conversations. And I always thought that was jive. I just think that you could, you know, it's just not that hard to construct a playoff that's
Right.
A little more, you know,
well,
fair.
The one effect that this has had, obviously, is it has had the effect of getting teams like Oklahoma and Ohio State and Alabama and these teams to play tough competition ahead of their conference games, at least one game.
Yeah.
But again, you could figure out a way to turn that into the whole system. So you say, right. Well, everybody has to play at least one non-conference game against a team from one of the top five conferences. I mean, they do that already anyhow, just about. So it wouldn't be that difficult to do that. And you could also make it a rule that nobody could play anybody in Division II. Yeah, that's just – from now on, that can't happen.
Right.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Or if you play those games, they don't count.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
They just don't count as a win.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. I mean, like, like somehow they wouldn't count toward, there's got to be something about that. Okay. If you play in a conference, if these conferences are all on the same level and you play a legitimate Division I conference schedule, hang on, I'm going to let our cat into the closet. Our cat is so bored because it's so cold here. It can barely go outside and it's so bored. And so it's constantly meowing to get in closets and stuff like that. So, just anything different. If you play a Division I conference schedule, then, you know, that should be enough to qualify you for this. Derby.
But if you wanted to say something like, so Alabama, you know, I think they played North Carolina A&T at one point or somebody like that, which is a non-Division I school. They're a non-FBS school. So if you wanted to say to Alabama, well, it's okay that you play that game, but that cannot count toward your undefeated season.
Yeah.
Then I'm okay with that. Now, they could still win the conference and get in, you know, or they could do whatever.
Oh, I see.
They could still go undefeated and get in.
Right.
But
so, if you went, like, 10-0 or whatever it is, but you had some of these Division II wins, the second division, whatever they're called now, then you wouldn't count as one of the undefeated teams. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but obviously you would have won your conference if you were still undefeated, so you'd still get in. So,
other teams that played a full
FBS schedule would get in ahead of you if they were undefeated as well.
Right.
You know, so if you had six undefeated schools and a couple of them had played non-FBS opponents, then you could say, well, your undefeated seasons don't really count.
Yeah. Right? Okay. I might go with that. I might go with that. I mean, I'm not too bothered. I'm fine with just saying, you know, I'm fine with counting them and saying, you know, again, you got to win them and you got to go undefeated in your top level conference. And if you do that, that's fine. We're going to put you in the national tournament and then fill it out with, you know, some kind of at-large scenario, you know, other conference champions or whatever it is until you get a number divisible by 16 or divisible by 4.
Right.
You know.
Well, let's say you had every conference champ in the country went undefeated. Right?
Yeah.
Then,
well, that would be interesting to know. That would – to
then,
look back.
Then you would just sit down and you would figure out, well, who do we think the four best conference teams are? Yeah, you know, who do we think the four best teams? Then you get to that question of who are the four best teams, right? Yeah. But until there's a scenario like that where you have more than four teams that are undefeated, then I think there's got to be some kind of criteria to get in.
My guess is that it's not a problem that's going to come up that often where you're going to have more than, you know, I don't know. No. It'd be interesting to look back at over the course of the last 15 regular seasons.
How many undefeated seasons?
Highest number of undefeated teams at the highest level. And, I mean, I don't even have a problem if you've got, you know, I mean, there is some problems here, logistics, when it comes to, like, you know, figuring out bowl assignments and things like that. But I wouldn't even have, I mean, I personally think it would be fair to say if you've got five undefeated teams around the country, undefeated teams at that level, that's fine. They're all in, and then we're going to put in three other teams, and we're going to have an eight-team tournament.
A bump to eight.
Yeah, bump to eight. and then, you know, and just suck in some other bowls into the tournament, you know?
Sure.
That's what I would do. But I guess, you know, maybe there's some logistical problems around that. But I will say this. This is what I think. Okay. Like, we are totally correct on this whole, like, we are obviously on path for a much better system. This is the best kind. And I don't, this idea, this is definitely the best idea anyone's ever had around the college football. Like, there's just no question. We've heard all the other arguments. There's no question this is the best one. This is what our podcast should be. We should solve every system.
There you go.
I mean, here we are. We're 50-year-old men, 50-year-old people, you know, who've both been, you know, for better or for worse, you know, we have been educated and trained in the systems of our country. You know, we've actually, like, taken part, participated in all this, taken part in our communities, paid attention to media, all these sorts of things. By and large, have quite tidy, you know, legal records, I think. I think we're both fine there. And, you know, we can we're eminently fair. I mean, we are very, very fair. Like, we can play these games and stuff like that. And, like, we call our own fouls or, like, oh, this doesn't, you know, this isn't, like, we're totally ready to say, you know, oh, this is fair. And even though it works in my favor, this isn't really fair. You know, like, we always want fair systems. We should solve all the systems. That's what our podcast should be.
So what will be the next system you would go after?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, maybe, you know, one that's coming up for me that's very near and dear in my heart is like the whole, like, medals table for the Olympics, you know, because we got another Olympics coming up.
Right.
February. And that's always a big hot button to me is how we do the – so there could be some stuff around that. But I suspect there could be some stuff around, like, you know, politics and just whatnot.
By the way, I think I'm going to try to make a run through the Olympics. I think I'm going to follow in your footsteps. I'm thinking about going to the curling club.
Oh, really?
Well, I figure, you know, it's my last shot to make the Olympics, right? I could.
This is huge news.
I could lead the Moscow curling club team to.
Is there a curling rink in Moscow?
There is a ice rink. Okay. It's not official. It's not big enough. It's a three-quarter size rink.
Yeah.
So, but they do have a curling club.
That's fine. That's fine.
You know, we're trying to raise the money to build a full-size rink.
Yeah.
So.
You've got to get involved in this. This is huge.
Although I don't think it's going to happen. But I don't know. This is the main system that I see as broken. So.
Right. 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 Well, I think there could be all kinds of them. I mean, I think that there could be, you know, I just think there's a whole bunch of different things. But okay, it's just all the conversation which we've ever had. I mean, we talk about these things all the time.
We'll do the Major League Baseball playoffs next.
Yeah, but there's a lot of them outside of sports, too.
That's true. Know? Yeah, that's true.
We talk about all this stuff.
That's true.
The I really like this idea of you leading a curling, getting involved in curling. I'll be interested to see. Have you gone yet? Have you even tried it yet?
No, I didn't even know we had a club. But, you know, Mabel started skating a lot.
Yeah.
And so I was at the ice rink with her the other day. And I don't skate, and I can't right now. And yeah, so I was just standing around, looking around. I realized that, we have a curling club. And.
Yeah.
Oh, we're trying to raise money to build a full-size rink. And
there you go.
So, yeah. So, which made me realize they're not doing a very good job of trying to raise the money if people who don't go to the rink don't even know they're trying to raise the money to build the rink.
Yeah.
So.
I really like this idea. It makes me think, like, maybe, you know, one of the thoughts that I had was when we've been talking about our 50th trip, one of the thoughts I had was, is like, we could try to, we could, before we knew what we were going to do, I was thinking, like, maybe we should go and, like, train in some sport together, like some Olympic sport. And I, of course, thought about curling because right. that one's, you know.
Yeah.
Some of our athletic abilities would probably still.
Yeah, we could do that.
Play. Anyway, I thought about that. And, or, you know, there's probably some other counterparts, but. And then you got hot on flag football there for a little bit. And so I thought, well, maybe that's what we should do. It's like,
well, yeah. Now that's the real solution, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, but it has to be 11-man or 11-person football. It can't be this 5-on-5 or 8-on-8 or 9-on-9 or whatever. It has to be 11-person football.
What do you do with the linemen?
Oh, they still block. It's just different. Mm-hmm. It's different kind of blocking. Okay. Like, if you watch the kids play,
yeah,
they're not, like, shoving and pushing each other as much, right? They're just kind of, like, getting in the way of the other person.
Okay, so it's running interference. Right. It's more like basketball.
Yeah, exactly. You're just setting, like, a screen, more or less.
Hang on. There we go. Okay, yeah, you're setting screens right. and picks. That sort of thing. Yeah, because
the linemen are the most vulnerable to the CTE stuff, I think, in a lot of ways. Right.
Right. You say that it's not necessarily that they're starting to believe it's not just like the major hits. It's like
it's all the like, subconcussive hits, right?
Constant jostling. Yeah.
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 So I have to say though, the NFL, I just can't. I'm happy the Bills are in.
I am too.
I'm really happy the Ravens are not in. But, you know, I mean, who wants to watch the Patriots again?
So, yeah. Oh, it's brutal.
It's awful.
It really is.
It's really bad.
It really is. It's really a bad season. So, you were smart to avoid it.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't watch this year. So,
yeah. All right, I did.
But from what, so the big question it seems like to me coming out of Miami is whether or not they're going to use Tannehill next year or just release him.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, that's the only, because they're keeping Gase, right? It sounds like, and they're keeping their GM. The other big topic is whether they'll get rid of Sue.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah. It is, who knows? I mean, I think it's easy to say it's a total mess now and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I actually do think Gase is a pretty good coach and I certainly would stick with him, but I still wouldn't be surprised if there ends up being this like total blow up here in the next week or so.
Well, people like Bill Barnwell are making the argument that what they need to do is now's the time to get rid of Sue because of his contract situation. They can get out from under that contract now and not take too big of a hit. It's the first time they can kind of get out of that contract. And the same with Tannehill. So they could get rid of both those contracts and open up a huge amount of cap room.
Yeah.
And then try to aggressively start building in the draft and through, you know, targeted free agency pickups and just not overspend for people.
Yeah.
But the big question is, do they think Tannehill is worth keeping or not? I mean, that's.
Right.
And if you trust Gase, then you got to kind of let him make that call, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I don't know.
But Gase went after Jay Cutler, so I don't know that I...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, I read a thing the other day that basically every off-season move the Dolphins made this year, now looking back, it looks like, you know, they made the wrong choice in every case, and Gase was a big part of all those decisions, and, you know, so everything's in question. You know, nothing's right when you lose and everything's good when you win.
Well,
so.
People are joking, too, about the fact that, you know, Jeff Ireland's now in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And New Orleans had, like, the greatest offseason in the history of football.
Right.
And everybody's been ragging on Ireland as being a horrible GM for years. So everybody's kind of joking about the fact that, like, you know, how it's so much of its luck. right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they made decisions that every one of them worked. Every one of them. So.
Yeah, and I think it's probably more. I don't know. I guess I feel like that it's likely. You know, everybody talks about that the NBA is the league that stars matter and, you know, matter the most. And I mean, I think that's true that it would be matters most among the major three team sports because they've got the fewest people on the field. But I think it probably matters more in the NFL than maybe what people tend to think. I mean, I do think, you know, everybody who goes into New England is better because they're around Tom Brady. You know, he's the generational talent and everybody plays a little better around him and he's able to, you know, maximize their abilities a little more. And, I mean, the Dolphins season being so disappointing, and I'm sure this has already been, you know, published 15 times today, if not, you know, much less a lot over the last year. But I wonder about, you know, when a team loses its starting quarterback from the start of training camp on, you know, like, you know, how many of those teams make the playoffs?
Right.
You know, how rare is it for a team to make the playoffs if they lose their starting quarterback, you know, after basically all the personnel moves have been made? And regardless of what you think about Tannehill, that was the plan. And
sure. Oh, yeah.
Once a giant plan change that late, and I know you're supposed to protect yourself and that sort of thing, but they did. I mean, everybody felt like Matt Moore was about as good a backup quarterback as you could get. And I don't know. It's disappointing. And then I'll say this: Gase coached in this last game against Buffalo like a coach who intends to be around next year. I mean, he went to his backup quarterback, a guy who's barely played, named David Fales. He went to him on the second possession and away from Cutler. And he went for it on every fourth down. You know, he wasn't kicking field goals. He really did seem to be, you know, testing out this young quarterback. Like, he had total focus. He just used that game as total focus to try out that quarterback. So he seems to believe he's going to be back. And, you know, he was already testing other players and that sort of thing. It was pretty brutal to watch. I watched most of it, and it was pretty brutal to see. But anyway, I don't know. I guess I still feel like, I don't know. I always think they've got a good plan, and they never do. So I'm a horrible judge. I always have. I believed in Jay Fiedler. I believed in everybody. So I'm just a fan. I have no idea about the Dolphins, what the best thing to do is or anything. God, what a disaster. I you know what? I should have done what you did, you know, like I'm just not going to pay attention this year. I should have, because all I did, I watched it and hated it. I mean, that's the dumbest thing, right?
Right. No, I know what you mean.
And hate it. Yeah.
No, I know what you mean.
Bad. The NFL was a bad experience this year. There were a few good moments, but oh my gosh.
I think GoHeath made a good point about this. The other day, he and I were talking, this idea that really, if you look at the NFL over 40 years, probably more than that, but what you see in our lifetime is that it's a very quarterback-dominated league. I mean, you know, the Dolphins won – when they won, they had Bob Greasy, right? Then you go to – you know, you've got Roger Staubach, Kenny Stabler, and Terry Bradshaw, right? They dominate the league. And then you get Joe Montana and whoever else in the eight, you know, Buffalo, Denver, right? You think about the teams that sort of dominated over all those years with Elway and Joe Montana and then Steve Young and then Troy Aikman. And then it's like, you know, you pretty much are going from like one quarterback to the next, you know, or group of quarterbacks to the next.
Sure.
And so, you know, if you think about where we're at right now, I mean, look at Seattle this year. Seattle is essentially the worst team in pro football on offense, except for one player.
Yeah.
Right? They have no running game. They have no offensive line. They have one good wide receiver, and they have an amazing quarterback.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And if they had, if they would give him any kind of an offensive line and a running game, they probably would have won the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, right.
You know,
their starting left tackle last year, I mean, I love the guy, but you know, they started at left tackle that guy who had never played college football at Western.
I know.
I mean, that's an amazing story.
No, it's crazy. It's been an ongoing problem for them for 5 years, and they never fixed it.
It's so crazy. Yeah,
it's the goofiest story in sports.
Well, and then like you take that Seattle situation. Okay, you know, Pete Carroll, man, it was great when he was in the AFC East being a Dolphins fan. It was fantastic when he was the coach of the Patriots and the Jets.
Right.
You know, I couldn't believe when he got that job out in Seattle. And then with Russell Wilson, he's become, you know, this huge star again. But that's what I think. I mean, I feel that way about Belichick, too. I don't think Belichick is an awful coach by any means. But, I mean, I don't think that – I think it's really hard to make – it's – I think Tom Brady is the best I've ever seen. And, you know, and I think Belichick is the guy who got to coach him. And he's done a fine job around him. Pretty good job – quite good job around him. And he's also still the same guy, you know, that was kind of mediocre in Cleveland.
I think the thing about Belichick is that he's got Josh McDaniel. And Josh McDaniel builds the offense, and Belichick stays out of it. That's what I think.
That could be.
And I think, you know, Belichick's focus, he's a defensive guy. That's what he focuses on. And that's why, you know, they can do what they do on defense every year. They somehow scrounge together a decent defense every year. And that's where I think he's a good coach, because he's able to always have a competitive defense every year.
Yeah.
And he's able then to support, you know, what Brady's doing on the other side of the ball. But, you know, you got to be good. Like, Shula was a great offensive mind.
Yeah.
Right? But he could never find a defensive coach to match up with him to do the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't do it. You know,
after Arnsberger,
right?
Arnsberger,
yeah. Once Arnsberger was gone, he struggled with that. Like, he could never find, the whole time he had Marino, he could never get a good defense,
right? You
know? I don't know,
yeah.
I just can't wait for Brady to retire. But
that's the grand system that our podcast has to solve, is the Dolphins.
Well, one of the arguments somebody like Barnwell is making, too, is that, you know, if you lumber along between 5 wins and 9 wins a year, you can kind of do that forever.
Yeah.
And be forever mediocre. So
sure.
I don't know, if you look at a team like the 49ers, which are the Rams, you know, especially the 49ers now, who suddenly look like,
yeah,
just by getting Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Now look like a real contender.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you know how much money the 49ers have in cap space next year?
No.
$115 million.
So they can add all these pieces around Garoppolo. That'd be great.
Go get Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
The Steelers can't afford all three of those guys. Go get Bell, build up your offensive line, get some defensive players, and you've got a team that could get into the playoffs. All because you got Garoppolo for a second round pick.
Well, the Dolphins have to, you know, you got to go find a great player somehow, you know. I mean, you look at the Dolphins, you know, got back up to around, you know, 10 and 11 year wins there for a few years with Ricky Williams. You know, Ricky Williams was fantastic. He was.
Right. He was so good. Right.
He was so good, you know.
Kind of like with Vikings with Adrian Peterson when he was able to just carry them. Yeah.
So they got to get a great player. And I don't know. You know, maybe he's on the roster. Maybe it's going to be this Kenyon Drake. I don't know. But I don't know. Yeah, it's disgusting. Well, I got to go. I got to get my daughter up to. She's got, she, I got they've got the day off for school here because it's too cold.
How cold is it?
It's like 0 degrees.
What? How's that too cold?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. But anyway.
You know, in Idaho, you know what we call that weather?
Yeah. What?
The kids don't get to go out to recess because that's below 10.
Yeah.
You know, right. up to 10 degrees, recess is okay.
Yeah.
But once you get below 10, no recess outside. That's.
Ours is below freezing. They don't go outside if it gets below 32 degrees.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'll have to tell Mabel that. She'll get another kick out of that. She's always like, it's 10 degrees. You know, it's 11 degrees. We get to play outside today. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I think I heard somebody, I didn't really pay that close attention. I just heard that they, you know, they had the day off school and that sort of thing. But I did hear it's apparently there's some water problem, like water pipe problems or something.
That's
like
usually the biggest issue that people in the South run into.
Yeah, right. So there's something out. So anyway, all right, I got to go.
Okay. I'll talk to you later. All right. Bye.